The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, welcome to Happy Hour. It's quite something for me to, you know, be able to teach loving kindness meditation, you know, repeatedly over and over again for these weeks. Each week I'm trying to think of like a new aspect, something a little bit different to talk about it. So while the practice, the way that I teach it, the practice I'm teaching is pretty much the same, but the aspect that I'm highlighting of why we do a loving kindness practice or how we do loving kindness practice changes each time. And of course, those of you who come regularly know that Nikki, a co-teacher, she has her own little style, but hopefully we're not too different. We are, of course, different people, but we're close to being on the same page. So the one thing that I'd like to talk about this evening is about how loving-kindness practice, we can, lots of different ways we can consider it, think about it, practice with it. And one way is that it's a cultivation practice, and cultivating our attention. Often we think of mindfulness practice as doing this, but loving kindness practice does this also. That is that we're, by doing this practice and repeatedly coming back to the phrases, which I'll talk a little bit about, is we're training the mind. We're training the mind to come back to the object, but not only that, with loving kindness, we discover that we're so accustomed to paying attention to ourselves and to others through a particular lens. And very often that lens is critical. I should have done that. Why didn't I do this? I can't do that. I haven't done that. They shouldn't be doing that. They should, you know, right? But often we have this kind of critical lens. So with loving kindness practice, it's a way that we can cultivate and develop this capacity to look at things from a different perspective, from a different angle that isn't so critical. Of course, this isn't easy. Just because we set the intention doesn't mean that it's going to happen right away. But it can happen. It does happen. This practice can really shift the way that we start to see the world, experience the world, see ourselves, and experience ourselves. But it does require a little bit from us. One is a willingness to be stretched a little bit. A willingness to look at things, experience things that are not in our habitual ways. A willingness to cultivate curiosity about our habitual ways, like to just notice what is the self-talk I have about myself? What is the view that's getting expressed with the way that I talk about myself or the way that I'm viewing others? So we have to have a certain amount of willingness, which includes a certain amount of intentionality and some purposefulness to a loving kindness practice. So as opposed to just kind of sitting down and just kind of casually letting the mind think about happy thoughts or people being safe and happy. There is a certain amount of, okay, we're doing a practice, but with ease and with relaxation. That alone can be a big practice, is to learn how to do that. How can we be intentional and purposeful with openness, with spaciousness? Very often we think like intentional and purposeful, we have to kind of be striving and a little bit contracted. So with loving kindness practice, we are cultivating our ability to view things from a different perspective, view ourselves and to view others from a different perspective, assuming that we tend to have more of a critical than loving, caring, warm, open-hearted attention. So that being said, This means that a loving kindness practice is not about forcing some feeling to arise. We're not trying to manufacture, we're not trying to make it happen, we're not striving to have some particular experience. Instead, we're practicing to train our minds in a particular way. So part of the power of this practice is the wholehearted gathering of our attention behind our intention to cultivate loving kindness. That's part of where the power is. So you may or may not have feelings of warmth and care and loving kindness arise. You certainly are, this practice, creating the conditions in which those can arise, but the power of this practice does not depend on having those arise. It's just that it's very simple, this idea of kind of like bringing the attention towards the intention of wishing others health, safety, well-being. There's a number of different ways to teach loving kindness practice. So here I've been teaching it one particular way. I'll continue to do that tonight. I've been thinking about maybe I'll switch it up a little bit, but tonight I'm going to do what I have been doing. So for those of you who've been here before. And that is that with loving kindness practice has three elements to it. And it may be that one of these three kind of resonates with you and the other two don't, or maybe two do, one doesn't. It doesn't matter. Just whatever combination of them feels like supportive for your loving kindness practice. The first is to bring to mind the person or being for whom you wish to send goodwill, good vibes. We often do this by visualizing the person. There's no need for this to be a, you know, really high definition visualization. It's more just, for me, it's often just a vague sense of that individual. I'm not a person that, I just can't visualize so clearly. It feels like it takes too much effort for me. So, but I know some people, for example, if you're trained as an artist or if you're trained in some particular way, visualization may be what comes easiest for you. So that's the first element, is to bring the being for whom you want to send loving kindness toward to mind. It can be visualization, or it can be some other way, whichever way that makes sense to you. Today we'll start with the benefactor, that is a lovable being, somebody for whom it's easy to feel loving kindness. We're not trying to set this up to be the most difficult thing. We want to do something that supports our lives, and we're not going to try fodder for more ways to criticize ourselves. So often we use a benefactor for this. This can be somebody that you might not have a relationship with, maybe some religious leader, or some other leader, somebody you know about. It also may be somebody that you know, somebody that's benefited you, supported you. Somebody for whom it's easy to kind of feel this openness of your heart or warmth or an inner smile in some way. If there isn't an individual that comes to mind, you can use another type of lovable being. Some people use kittens or babies or puppies. A few days ago, I was doing a little bit of research on the internet, research, quote unquote. It started out as research, and then you know how this often is with the internet. And then I saw, like, oh, this thing with puppy videos. Actually, I'm going to look at this and see if there's, you know, some loving kindness thing that arises for it. Wow, I had no idea. There's all these cute little puppy videos. It's quite something. So I just found myself smiling when I was looking at them, too. I thought, like, okay, this works. So the first element is to visualize. We'll start with a benefactor, and then we'll expand it to include ourselves, and then we'll expand expand it a second time to include a neutral person. That is, somebody whom you don't have a relationship with, you do not know. You may recognize them. Very often this is somebody like the person who delivers the mail or the person at the grocery store that you check out with. These are kind of two common ones. The neighbor that you see walking the dogs often but haven't ever spoken with. So the second element is a feeling in the body, a physical sensation. It may be a sense of openness, spaciousness, warmth, ease. I'm going like this around my heart because I often feel it here in the heart center, but sometimes in the belly too, like a certain spaciousness, I'll just say. All of us might have our own way to do this, and it may not arise. This may not be something for you that is readily available or makes sense to you even. But if it does arise, you can use that to support you. It's kind of a way to like a dip into that, the physical sensations. And then, of course, the third element is repeating the phrases. And I'll guide us through this in the beginning, and then I'll allow some time for some silence for you to go at your own pace, to find your own rhythm, a rhythm that's supportive of your intention to cultivate loving kindness, your intention to be warm-hearted, intention to send goodwill to others. I think all of us want to live in a world where there's lots of goodwill. This is one way where we can contribute to that. And again, I'll say that we're not trying to force anything to happen here. Instead, we're just creating the conditions and allowing what's going to arise. This does mean that sometimes everything except loving kindness arises. Maybe all those memories of those times when you were not loving or kind. So if that's the case, as best you can, there's a number of things, and I'll talk about it, but one is maybe you can open up your awareness bigger. And that is, there may be these difficult emotions, difficult memories, difficult sensations that are arising, but can you open your awareness so that you can notice other things are happening at the same time? You might hear my voice, you might hear the pressure of the chair or the cushion on your body. You might have other sensations in the body. So to open up your awareness is a way, we're not going to shove and pretend like these difficult things aren't there, but we're going to try to not have them be our complete experience. And I'll talk about some more as we go. Okay, so with that is kind of a long introduction. Let's take an alert, upright posture. And we'll start with three long, slow, deep breaths. I like to start this way just as a way to connect with the body with these kind of exaggerated movements. And plus, of course, it can be relaxing. Then we'll allow the breath to return to normal, and trusting that the body knows how to breathe. We don't have to do anything special. For loving kindness practice, it can be really supportive to be comfortable. So, see if there's some tension, some tightness in the body that can be readily relaxed or let go or softened without making a big project out of it. We'll just very gently inquire around the eyes, around the jaw, Maybe there can be some ease. The neck, shoulders. Upper back and lower back. How about the chest and the belly? Can there be some relaxation, some softening? In whatever way you understand that. You can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body and feel supported, feel grounded, while at the same time being upright. If you're sitting upright, if you're lying down, feel supported by the ground. The legs and the feet. Arms and the hands are beautiful. Limbs help us all day long. Maybe they've taken on a little bit of tension. And then let's begin with some mindfulness practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. So that is to rest your awareness on the sensations of the abdomen moving, the chest moving, or the feeling of the air going in and out of the nose. You can choose whichever of those areas feels the most supportive, the most accessible, and just rest your awareness on the movement, the sensations, the feelings. When you find yourself lost in thought, which is bound to happen, it doesn't have to be a problem. It's an opportunity to practice some kindness towards yourself. Just very gently, very simply, come back to the sensations of breathing. Can you feel what breathing is like? Feel it from the inside, rather than thinking about it, but really being embodied. It can be a great support for our lives and support for our practice to inhabit our bodies. If you're lost in thought, just very simply begin again. So this practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, where we simply rest our awareness on the movement of the abdomen or chest or feeling the air through the nose. This could be an alternative practice if you're, while doing loving kindness practice, you find difficulties arising. Not everybody experiences difficulties. I just want to provide support if this should arise. And then to switch over to loving kindness practice, bring to mind somebody for whom it's easy to feel warmth, care, respect, kindness, love. You can use whichever adjective you like, but kind-heartedness. Good feelings. You can bring this person or this being to mind. Then you can check in with the body and see there might already be some kind of like a internal smile in some way. Maybe subtle, unremarkable. But something that feels a little bit happy. Happy to bring this lovable person to mind, or lovable being. Happy in a very soft, gentle way, not in a big, exuberant way. That may not be there also. And then to support our intention to cultivate loving kindness, our intention to cultivate our attention, to view things from a different perspective, we'll say the phrases. There's nothing magical about these particular phrases. You're welcome to modify them in a way that resonates for you. So you can repeat after me silently in your mind while having your benefactor, a lovable being, in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You can check in with the body and see if there is a feeling of warmth, softness, care. If so, you can allow it to get as big as it would like. Again, we're not forcing anything, we're not making anything, we're not manufacturing anything. We're just setting the intention to cultivate loving kindness. You can refresh, perhaps the person or the being for whom you're sending loving kindness with an image or maybe the felt sense of that person or being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Then we can build on this foundation of loving kindness that we've been developing. And we can expand our loving kindness to include ourselves. Of course we include ourselves, of course we do. We deserve loving kindness, every single one of us, every single one of us. There are no exceptions. So you can bring to mind either visualizing yourself, either as you are now, or maybe how you were when you were younger, or even as a child or a toddler, or maybe even your future self. We can play with this, be creative, experiment. And, or, you can just do like a felt sense of yourself. How does it feel, like from the inside, to be sitting here right now? Maybe that's more accessible or feels more supportive. So again, we can check in with the body and see if there is any feeling of warmth or tenderness, perhaps. Sometimes it can be helpful to put a hand on the heart center as a way to connect with that feeling, support that feeling. And then we just very simply change the pronoun for the phrases. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then we'll expand our loving kindness one more time to send it to a neutral person, someone for whom you don't know. Might even be somebody in this room. Again, you can drop into the body and see if there is maybe a soft, gentle, warm, kind feeling. It may be very subtle, maybe unremarkable. If so, you can allow this feeling to support you, nourish you, nurture you. Then you can bring a neutral person to mind. And say the phrases with this individual in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. So for the last part of this meditation, you can do a practice that feels like the right practice to do, whatever that means. Maybe it's loving kindness for yourself, for the benefactor. Maybe it's continuing with the neutral person. Maybe it's mindfulness of breathing. Is there a practice that feels like the right thing to do? If not, then you can just continue with the loving kindness for the neutral person. No reason to change. Unless you feel like it would be helpful. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair, the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So sometimes when we start a meditation practice, we start to notice what our minds do and the tone or the attitude of our mind. And one thing we may notice that how we view ourselves and how we view others isn't always in the best light. And so this practice is a way to kind of help maybe stretch our capacity or capability to look at things a little bit differently. I'm not saying like ignoring the fullness of everything that's happening. I'm saying to just recognize that there's more than one way to view things. There can be different perspectives. One's perspectives that include kindness and warmth, compassion and care. And in this way, we can be authors of new stories about ourselves, new stories about others, new stories about our lives, by looking at things differently. So now I'd like to open it up for comments or questions. Anybody have somebody they'd like to share or a question they have about the practice? It could be a curiosity that you have or an observation that you have. Yeah. And can we'll send the microphone back this way. You're welcome.
My question is, when When my mind gets lost in thought, if I'm repeating the phrases to myself, should I use the phrases as the object of awareness, or go back to my breath, or where should I like center myself?
Yeah, so for this practice, usually we're using the phrases mm-hmm. as a way, to kind of like as the anchor as opposed to the breath. I start us off with mindfulness of breathing, but to come back to the phrases, I think, is if that's readily available, yeah. Can be confusing, right? Because I did mindfulness of breathing to begin with and then switched over to loving kindness. But yeah, it's a good question. Does anybody else have a comment or a question?
I notice that not just today, but today specifically, but sometimes for me it's easy to find a loving being if it's associated with compassion. So somehow seems like maybe in the past 6 months I've been more focused on the bad side of things, you know, it's like not really centered, so you know, managing my anxiety, and I guess since I'm focused on that, that's what I see. Can you comment on that, or it seems so it seems that way for me? But it, like today was I don't know how to comment on it, but it was working for me. You know, it was fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So can you explain to me or share with me when you say compassion, what does this mean for you, or what is it?
So the lovable being was this person I don't know well, but she's a child that had troubles, and I knew about her troubles, so it was easy for me to feel love for her. That was the love of being. I can center in my mind, think about her, and you know, if I sometimes had to move away or otherwise I start crying because I feel so much sometimes, you know, like the first time I felt it, I just walked out of that building crying because of what I felt.
Mm. Yeah. So this. So just as you're describing, maybe you know this, that loving kindness, right? When we do this practice, kind of the idea is that we can send loving kindness to everybody, all beings, and of course, some people are suffering. So loving kindness, when it meets suffering, turns into compassion. So there can be this tenderness or warmth. I feel like this is fine. If you feel like it kind of promotes a sense of, I don't know, you didn't use this word, but I had this feeling of tenderness and care.
A little bit.
So, but the trick is to not feel overwhelmed, right? So that then we start to feel bad. So often we start with feeling a little bit grounded and have a certain amount of stability and a certain amount of ease before we go there so that we can hold the difficulty and yet still be sending them loving kindness. So part of the trick is to be sending them loving kindness but not falling into suffering yourself. And this can be a skill. So if you find that it's supportive for you to kind of open and have some warmth, I think it's great. If you find that it's your difficult emotions are arising and you end up feeling really sad afterwards, then maybe you could practice with this person for whom you feel compassion towards. And then maybe also with somebody if that isn't suffering as much, right, then you could alternate or move back and forth, or you can play around with this and experiment with this. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so much of this practice is kind of to be playful and experimental. There isn't a formula that works all the time, and so we can fall into a trap of thinking like, oh, we have to do it the right way or have to have a particular the right experiences. But But that's not the case here. We're trying to, you know, create the conditions for loving kindness to arise, and at different times, it may different conditions are needed, of course. Yeah. I'm not sure the microphone is turned on.
Let's try that.
Yeah.
Okay. I get the experimental part. When you say playful, I think maybe I've been around too many sort of grim lessons in Buddhism, and it would be great if you could talk a little bit more about the playfulness of practice.
Too many grim lessons in Buddhism.
So it's a very serious matter, and I've only heard one person say it's so serious we really need to joke about it.
Yes, Wes Nisker. Wes Nisker, he's taught here a few times. You could find him on Audio Dharma. Yeah. So this idea of being playful, right? So it's more, it's very easy, and certain Buddhist traditions and certain Buddhist teachers, I'm not one of them, will say, you know, you have to strive, you know, like kind of go and make this happen. But especially with loving kindness practice, it's not easy. We're trying to do the opposite, right? Just to kind of soften and open up. And often it's playfulness, because the sense of curiosity, like, oh, well, I wonder what happens if I say the phrases in a different language. I wonder what happens if I only use one phrase over and over. I wonder what happens if I'm doing this lying down versus sitting up. I wonder what, you know, so this kind of like, this just like this play without a sense of I have to do it the exact right way. So what we're doing is trying to, I keep on saying this expression, create the conditions. So we're trying to make it easier that we can have this softness and openness so that the warmth can arise.
So it's not so much striving as delight.
So not as much striving as delight. I love that. Yes. 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 Right? And then we'll start to notice, right, how things look different and feel different if there's a certain delight that happens. Just like I'm talking about, well, we can look at things from a different perspective. Often if we have a little bit of delight in our minds and bodies, things look different than if we're grim. I think this is a good question. It's definitely true, right? Some of the Buddhist traditions, and some, even in this tradition, some teachers certainly are like that. I'm not like that, clearly. I tried it. I did try this real strive. It didn't work, so I abandoned it. I'm not sure the microphone's working. Maybe the batteries
Hello?
Are dead. I'm not
Is
sure.
Is it working? I don't know.
I'm not
Hello?
Convinced it's working. Okay. We'll go for it.
I'm just loving our meditation tonight because life kind of has made me shut down and do everything right and da-da-da. And what I loved about this evening was that there was no wrong way to do it. And that's very helpful for me. That however it comes, that's okay. Mm-hmm. And just want to say that I appreciate that so much.
Happy to hear that. Yeah, so often we have rules, and this is right, and that's wrong. And I don't want to, some people really thrive with that too. It can be really helpful to have some parameters, right? So
we're all different, mm-hmm. but we're good the way we are. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so like how can we have a sense of curiosity and playfulness without, I don't know how to say this, maybe I'll use the word casualness. Like, no, we're doing this, we're committed to doing this, but in a way that, I keep on going this with my hands, right, that is spacious. That we're not lackadaisical necessarily, but we have ease. This can be a skill, actually, right, to learn how to do that. Okay, so it's 7 o'clock. I thank you all for your practice. I'll stay here if you'd like to have more questions, and I wish you a wonderful evening. Thank you.